الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العظيم قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent every person with tests and trials. Alif Lam Mim, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala starts Surah Al-Ankabut, the Surah of the Spider, with these words, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ In this dunya, a person that buys something, is interested in something, then that person wants to know how genuine is this item. If a person loves someone, then the partner wants to know how sincere are you in your love. Is it true? Are you sincere? Or is it artificial? Makeup. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that what do the people think? That we will send you in this dunya, you will be just left like that to say amanna, we bring iman, and you will not be tested. Then Allah says that most definitely we tested the people before you, and we will test you also. And what is the reason? Why do we put you through tests? To see that you say you brought iman, you say you believe in la ilaha illallah, you say you believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how sincere and how true are you in your statement? So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will test every single person. There is no person in this dunya that can say that Allah is not testing me. With something or the other, Allah pak will test every person. So Allah wants to see the genuine from the fake. Allah wants to see that our iman, is it genuine, true, or is it just lip service? That mashallah, I say with my tongue, la ilaha illallah, I say Muhammadur Rasulullah, very easy to say it. If it was just mere recitation of this kalima, these words, then what stopped people like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, from Utayba, what stopped them from just saying these words? Rather, on one occasion they said, وَأَبِيكَ عَشْرَ kalimat. When Nabi Apak alayhi salatu wasalam presented a da'wah to them, to Abu Jahl on one occasion, he said, just kalimatan, لو تعطونا كلمة واحدة دانت عليكم العرب وتؤدي لكم العجم الجزية. It's simple sentence. Say it, oh my uncle. Or say it, oh Abu Jahl. All the Arabs will become subservient to you. The non-Arabs will give you jizya. So one sentence, you want me to say it? I'll say it 10 times. Tell me, what is it? He said, say la ilaha illallah and believe anni Muhammadur Rasulullah. He said, that I cannot say. It's not just the recitation of this sentence or these few words, but it's a lifestyle that goes behind it. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent every person in this world to test us, that when we say that we believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the last prophet and we're going to follow his way of life, then how sincere are we in what we are saying? So if a person says, that is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every person will enter Jannah. Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-Jannah illa man aba. Except the person who has rejected. So it was asked, who will reject? What do you mean by rejected? So Rabbi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam replied, that person who obeys me, who follows me, ita'at, the word is used in ita'at al-Jannah. The person who follows me, who obeys me, that person will enter Jannah. But the person who does not follow, who disobeys, who goes against my way of life. He puts his trust and yakin and reliance on any other way of life, then that person has indeed rejected me. That person will not enter Jannat. May Allah Pak save us, save every one of us. So Allah Pak has sent us with this kalima to bring our lives onto deen, to bring our lives onto the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday in one of the Eid bayans we heard that if you want a solution, for everything there's a solution. Now one is a short-term solution that someone may show us today. The solution of today may be a problem of tomorrow. Someone may tell us, hey, you got this problem in your life, then this is the solution. Some doctor may say, you got this particular sickness, then this is the treatment, this is the cure. Some lawyer may tell you, you got this type of a case, then this is the way out for you. 5 years down the line, the research may change or will change, and everything, the whole game plan changes, and now the whole research is different. So now your cure is in something else. Your doctor is giving you some other advice. Your lawyer is giving you some other advice. And likewise, everything else changes. So if we want to look for a solution, let us look for a solution that has never changed. It has stood the test of time. From the beginning of time, let us look for a solution in that. And the solution is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has kept the success of entire mankind in these two things. If a person will adopt this, strengthening his iman, making an effort on his iman, then to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow Rasulullah becomes very easy. Then, whether there's an environment or not, if there's an environment, it will become even easier. If there's no environment, he will go out of his way to make an environment in his area so that he may practice on deen. Like we see, mashallah, our jamaas have been to many, many countries. Last week you heard some karguzari about Brazil and Paraguay and whatever. One of our jamaas went now to Venezuela. And we see the same thing, that where there is effort on deen, effort on iman, then we find, alhamdulillah, that Allah shukr, people are deeni conscious, iman conscious, they're worried about bringing one sunnah in their life. We traveled, it was it's a huge country, almost the same area as South Africa, maybe 20% smaller. The amount of masjids we have in South Africa compared to the amount of masjids that they have there in their country, this is very, very few, limited. So you're going from one masjid, your tashkil is to the next masjid, you travel in 4 hours, 5 hours, sometimes 6 hours. In between, there's not a single masjid or musalla. You'll pass some small villages, no big towns, maybe some small village. You'll ask them, any Muslims here? They'll say, no Muslims, maybe one family, maybe two families, maybe 5, 6 families. But no masjid musalla. So you carry on, you come, after you travel 4 hours like that, you come to a masjid and musalla. We went to one place from the main area where mashallah jamaat work is strong, where there are a lot of workers, area called Valencia. From there we traveled probably about in total 8 hours stop in various places, about 12 hours we came to one place on the far west coast. We were surprised to meet one brother, mashallah, Arab descent, Syrian brother. What ikram, what muhabbat, what love for the jamaat. He spent a lot of time with us, taking us to visit this person, that person. So, because mashallah, he's got that fikr for deen, iman, that akhirat is in front of him, all the time he's worried about his children's education, tarbiyat. We found that mashallah, good environment in his home also. When we were leaving from the main place, and we were going on this route for about 15, 20 days, then one of the local brothers there, jamaat brothers, he said, you know what, you've been on a trip, on a journey this direction here, you may not get halal meat. So here halal meat is available, so take some chickens. And so halal meat is not available in an area, then what's the easiest thing to do? You look for some chicken and fowl, then you'll slaughter it yourself, make it halal, and you can pass your time. So he said, you know, you may find difficulty in getting halal meat. So in any case, he joined us for a few days, so he carried his whole cooler box, and he stocked it up with halal meat. So when we reached this point about 10, 12 hours away, after a few days, maybe a week or 10 days, we met this person, Syrian brother, Arab, mashallah. So, spending some time with him, discussing, he tells us, you know what, it's 7 months, 7 months since I've eaten halal food, since I've eaten a chicken. So now I'm thinking to myself, 7 months you haven't eaten a chicken. Surely if there's no halal chicken here, you can slaughter a chicken. You see, it's not so easy in these areas. For us to go find a chicken, a live chicken, we have to travel 3 hours away. Haram food is available. Non-Muslims, disbelievers, haram, everything is available. But if you want to slaughter your own, you got to travel 3 hours. Now, who's going to travel 3 hours? It's like telling someone from Durban to go to maybe Harrismith, 3 hours, or Ladysmith, to go and find 2 chickens or 5 chickens or 10 chickens, slaughtered and come back. So when we made chicken and we presented it to him, he said, after 7 months of eating halal food, after 7 months of eating chicken, now it makes us think that a man is in a remote area. But what is keeping his spirit on deen? What is keeping him alive on deen? It is his fikr for his iman. If this man had not made any effort on his iman and was not concerned, then he will mix up with the population over there. He would become like any other ordinary person there. And whether it's halal, whether it's haram, whether it's made zaba, not made zaba, whether there's environment or there's no environment, it wouldn't have mattered to him. But where there is iman, we find that flame in the heart, and the Allah consciousness is in that person's heart. We find, beloved friends, the mashallah, the country, as soon as when Jamaat work started, maybe 30 years ago or so, 30, 35 years ago, whatever, then wherever the brothers went and they made effort, alhamdulillah, there's masjid established. Wherever we find there's 27 or whatever masjid, musallas in the entire country, established by people who got ta'alluq with deen, mashallah, they went there in Jamaat, they made effort on the people. One thing we found, beloved friends, is, you know, we say Allah Pak use us as a means of hidayat, and the more effort we make, Allah will definitely use a person for means of hidayat. But Allah does not need people to give people hidayat. We must understand this. Allah's system is ajeeb. Allah's system is unique. How many Muslims we met, scores of Muslims we met, Venezuelans, born as non-Muslims, but Allah Pak gave them hidayat. So, you know, we would be interested to know. So we'd ask each person that, mashallah, you Muslim, how many years? He'd say, I'm Muslim, maybe 5 months, 7 months. Someone say, I'm Muslim, 7 years. Someone say, I'm Muslim, 12 years. But how you accepted Islam? And each one will relate to you a unique story. Not that they met any Muslim or anything. One person will say, he says that I just heard one lecture, someone passed me one note, voice note or something, I heard one lecture on inshallah. I say, I heard that lecture on inshallah and I got very interested at what inshallah it means about, you know, if God wills, if Allah wills. So I started studying Islam and I started asking, researching, asking a few people, and then I decided, no, if this is what Islam is, then I want to become a Muslim. Now that person who gave that bayan about inshallah probably doesn't even know where his bayan reached. But that became a means of this individual's hidayat. One person, he says that, I saw a dream. Our Islam and Sharia did not based on any dreams, but I saw a dream. What is the dream? He says, I saw that there are Muslim people like dressed like this, you know, in white, everything, like Muslims, and they go into a particular building, and they go inside, and after some time they're coming out, referring to a masjid or a musalla. So you see, I started inquiring that people like this, who they are, I came to know, okay, these are Muslims. So where they are, now where they pray, someone told me they got a small place over here, they pray over there. So I went there, I met the people, met the Imam Sahib, and told him, you know, I'm interested in Islam. Like that, we met a person, he just heard the adhan in his dream. He heard the adhan in his dream, he says, no, just these words. Now they, everywhere they don't have adhan on the loudspeakers, or they have, but a small place, they don't give on loudspeakers, but masjids, everything, there's no restriction, they give on the loudspeakers. So he's thinking of these words, what kind of words are they? So making inquiry and speaking to people, he came to know eventually, oh, this is Islam, this is the words to call to prayer, that became a means of his shahada, of him accepting Islam. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses various ways, and beloved friends, the locals are very, very thirsty for hidayat. They're very, very anxious, they're tired of the ways of life that they are leading, the different cultures and different things that they belong to, religions, they're tired of that. They know that their people are deceiving them, lying to them. So they're looking for a solution, they're looking for a way. And Allah Pak is making it easy, mashallah, and the jamaat that are going there, it's creating a thirst in the people, and we find, alhamdulillah, that many, many people, men also, and we went because it was a ladies' jamaat, the ladies also so much interested in deen, that for them, whether they read salah, no salah, the importance was not there. But now when a jamaat came, oh, the salah, we have to read. Like, you know, the realization came in the ladies that no, salah is not a thing that just, one place we went where there's no environment, where there's no effort made, then we find that the person is so far from deen that the entire community, hardly people come for Jummah salah also. Alhamdulillah, we made effort in that area. We gave them targheeb. And some salah, they were not even coming to the masjid, but we went to speak to them. community, about 50, 60 people. We went house to house, person to person, shop to shop. Allah Pak give you a beautiful masjid. How can the masjid stay closed? Alhamdulillah. Then from there, few people became fikirman. They got worried. Hey, no, how can Allah Pak's house be closed? No, never. So they made a firm resolution from that day, inshallah, all five times salah, they'll come to the masjid. Because we know Venezuela, many of us may heard, went through some crisis a few years ago. So the population has diminished quite a bit, has gone down significantly. In some areas, 50%. Some areas, 70% Muslim population has gone down. One area now, mashallah, many years ago, they built a masjid, a beautiful masjid. And we didn't go to that area, we went past. So we said, why don't we go tashkil to that area? They said, there's no more Muslims left in that area. They all, because of the halat, the conditions that were in that country, many of them migrated, they went away to various countries, or they went to other bigger cities. There's not a single Muslim male left in that masjid. That masjid is now closed. So we told them, now inshallah, make effort, maybe as the population in the nearer town grows. You must understand something also. We say people hardly come for salah. It's not that they don't want to come for salah, it's that it's the masjids are far. The population, they don't live around like, mashallah, Spingo Beach. You got maybe 450, 500 families and all. Everyone can walk to the masjid. Even if you live in Crab City, if you want to walk, now, mashallah, there's a masjid. I'm just saying before, if you wanted to walk, you can walk to the masjid. It's not difficult. 1 kilometer is the furthest point from the masjid to the last resident of Spingo Beach. Less than a kilometer. So for them, it's now, like one area we went, they told us about 250 Muslim families. But he said before, we had 500 Muslim families. It would take us half an hour to drive to the masjid because of the traffic. See, now the population, Muslim, non-Muslim population has gone down. Many people left the country. Many people left the city. So for us to come to the masjid now takes us 5 minutes only. Right? So you must know people that live, if we say 5 minutes, it means that there's one masjid here. They're coming from Spingo Rail. Someone is coming. Someone's house is in Spingo Hills. Someone's house is in Athlone Park. Someone's house is near Malagasy, that side. So they live in scattered and far away. Now for them to come is also a big qurbani, you know. Today, we who live walking distance from the masjid, we feel difficulty to take out our cars and come to the masjid. Here are people who live 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour away from the masjid. How much of iman they must have, power of iman in their hearts, that must be able to drive them and bring them to the masjid. So we can't say that, oh, the people are not coming to the masjid. They want to come, they are coming, mashallah. Effort is made, alhamdulillah, the masjid population is increasing. But you must understand the challenges that the ummah is facing in that part of the world. And like that, many other countries in South America and other parts of the world also, we find that maybe one masjid, the nearest masjid for a person, we went in one place. One man came to visit us with his family because there is Jamaat. He brought his wife and children and his brother-in-law and everyone to come. The entire day he spent with us and went back late at night. He traveled 1 hour just to come and visit the Jamaat in his area. In that 1 hour, he said, in between there is no masjid, no musalla, nothing for him. Fridays, he has to travel 1 hour to go and read Jummah namaz. Now, how much shukr you and I have to make, beloved brothers? 5 times a day we hear the azan. How many of us respond? Jummah day, mashallah, our masjids are full. See? Come Asr Salah on the same day, where are we? Are we so much busy in our dunya, we don't have time? Are we so busy? We got so, mashallah, systems of kuffas and ulama and madrasa and maktab and hifz class and alim class. So much of deen around us that we take it for granted. We don't make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away. Doesn't mean we got a masjid that now the community is going to be here forever. Those people 30 years ago never dreamt that one day we'll have to leave that town and leave that masjid locked up for months or for a few years. That masjid is locked up. They never dreamt. They never thought. They never imagined something would happen like that. So never be satisfied with what we are doing. Always look ahead. The solution is in deen. Solution is in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Bring deen, bring iman into our lives. Make effort on ourselves, effort on our children. We start off with our wives and our children. That's the first point. Make effort in our areas. How Allah Pak can give us tawfiq, beloved brother. Joining the gush that takes place, whichever area, whether from Spingo Beach or whichever other town we belong to. Every week there's some gush program taking place. Join the brothers, go and meet. These guys, you know, when we go there, they are so thrilled to receive a jamaat. And this is like it revives the iman. It like gives them so much of hope that, you know, when you people come, it's like our iman is on another level. It gives us so much of hope. Otherwise, we in our routine, there's no one to tell us. Most of the masjids, they don't have proper imams like how we have proper imams. They don't have proper madrasa maktab system like how we have. You may know 250 Muslim homes, if there's no maktab, what is the future of that generation? The jamaat, mashallah, will come. They'll make effort on a certain class. Then they'll go away. Then these people will grow up. Then again, jamaat will make effort on that class. But how easier would be the effort if effort is made on the maktab and the mashallah system is there in place, like how we have system, that the people grow up knowing the surahs, they grow up knowing the basics, they grow up knowing who Allah is, they grow up knowing the kalima, knowing the meaning of the kalima, what it is. We take these small, small things, we take it for that mashallah, alhamdulillah, I'm born in a Muslim home, or I'm in a good environment, so I'm safe. May Allah Pak keep us all safe, may Allah Pak protect our iman, may Allah Pak give us, dear beloved brothers, if we cannot reach those places, at least take names of those countries in our dua. If we take name of one country every day, Allah Pak, the Muslims of this particular country, Allah give them hidayat. Next day, you know, five times duas, make dua for another country. Take one country, may do Allah Pak give hidayat. Allah Pak, take me there to make effort of deen. If you cannot reach there, at least you got the thawab of the good that is spreading in that town. May Allah Pak give us tawfiq, beloved friends, to link ourselves to the amal of deen. Wherever there are deeni programs, wherever there are deeni, there's some majlis, some fikr, and let us be part and parcel of it. And if you cannot participate fully, wholly, then let us not oppose those that are doing it. Rather encourage. A little word of encouragement may go a long way. We ourselves, maybe we cannot go for 4 months, for example. But we help others and get others ready for 4 months. Allah Pak will give us the reward also. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.